Morning. I'd like to call the November 8th, 2012 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Ms. Hubbard?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Stevens, there as well.
Have all members of the board had the opportunity to review the October 11, 2012 meeting minutes?
Yes.
If so, are there any corrections or changes? Hearing none, all of those in for approval of the minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Does any member of the board, has any member of the code board had any ex parte communication with any party to the cases that we're going to be hearing today? Are there any announcements?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have a couple of announcements for cases that are in compliance that are on the agenda. Case number one, CB09-12106, in compliance as of November 5th, 2012. Case number four, CEB09-1297 was in compliance as of November 7th, 2012. Case number six, CEB09-12-102 was in compliance as of November 7th, 2012. Case number 12, CEB11-12-127 was in compliance as of October 29th, 2012. And case number 13, CEB11-12-128, in compliance as of November 7th, 2012. Case number 14, CEB11-12-129, in compliance as of November 7th, 2012. And case number 16, CEB11-12-131, compliance as of November 7th, 2012.
Thank you. Will all members of city staff who will be testifying please come forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I'd like to ask just briefly for the attention of those persons who are sitting in the audience, just a couple of housekeeping things. As you approach the podium, we'd like to ask that you speak directly into the microphone. As this proceeding is being recorded, I'd also like to ask that you turn your cell phones to either vibrate or silent mode also, please. Again, but most importantly, this proceeding is being recorded, so please speak into the microphones. Are there any members of council present who will be representing any party to the cases that we're going to hear today? Okay. We do have two lien reviews. Did you want to hear those simultaneously, Hector?
Okay. Mr. Chair, may I have a minute to review this letter that we just got, please? I just need a minute.
Is that okay? Sure.
Yes, my name is Stanley Jaroslawicz. I reside at 1637 Moravia Avenue, Holly Hill.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony
you're
about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
The lien reviews, just for the record, lien review number one is case number CEB040472. The property is located at 318 South Street. Stanley and Sally Jarowski. Also, lien review number two is CEB040473. Property is located at 326 South Street. Stanley and Sally Jaroslawicz. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Just for informational purposes, Mr. Rosowitz is here. He's asking that we review the lien, which was $100 per day. Lien review number one, the fine was imposed on June 4, 2004. And he has a compliance date of July 12, 2004. The lien amount is $3,700 plus accrued interest for a total amount of $5,858.08. Lien review number two, again, is CEB040473. That property is at 326 South Street. The interest, the fine was imposed at $100 per day effective 6/4/2004, with a compliance date of July 9th, 2004. The lien amount was $3,500 plus accrued interest of $2,043.44 through November 8th, 2012, as of November 8th, 2012, for a total amount due of $5,543.44. Looks like Mr. Garcia is going to be speaking for the city. Good morning.
Good morning, Board. CEB040472 and CEB040473. We're going to combine those two cases. After reviewing the case, the officer that was involved is no longer employed with the city. The actual fine was imposed on 6/4/2004, and the compliance date came in as of July 12, 2004. After reviewing the respondent's letter, he does have some hardship. He has had some hardship. Staff recommends that for both properties, the respondent pay $1,000 as a total lien review, $500 for each property.
Does any member of the board have any questions, Mr. Garcia, or the respondent, Mr.
Yeah, Mr. Rosowitz? Garcia, could you explain why this is just coming to us now?
No, sir. No, ma'am. I have no idea why the respondent now is just coming on to us. He could have possibly applied for the amnesty. Maybe he was not aware of it. Again, due to the circumstances, his hardships, you know, where staff is recommending the amount. Sir.
Had he applied for the amnesty when it was available, what would the amount have been?
Back then, do we have that? Would have been 10%, correct? Rental house, correct?
No, it's a rental house.
$1,000.
Each.
Each.
You're recommending $500 for both.
Correct.
I always like to ask the question, Mr. Garcia. Does that cover all of the city's expenses, labor,
$500
all the any you know inspector time for inspection?
At the time, yes.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions?
I want to clarify again. It's $500 each property or $500 total?
No, $500. Each property to a total of $1,000.
Mr. Rosowitz, would you come to the mic? I think we might have a couple of questions for you, at least comments.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Garcia has recommended that we reduce your liens to $500 per property for a total of $1,000. And we've received your letter. We've all had the opportunity to read it. Is that something that you feel would be doable?
Well, I really couldn't even afford that. I possibly could get that money. The problem with this entire situation is that you have my paid bills on the violations. The last paid bill, and according to everything that I received from the city, the main part of this violation thing was painting of the buildings. I complied with painting of the buildings by May 27th, called in for an inspection, leaving my name, address, and phone number. I thought the matter was completely resolved until I received a letter from Susan Meeks containing the lien. received it on 6/25. The meeting apparently was held on June 10th, but made retroactive to June 4th. But in my summation, I say that I had complied fully with the violation requests. I show canceled checks for dumpster fees, for my licensed commercial painter, and other damages that I had.
Let me just intervene here just for a second, Mr. Roskowitz. I reviewed those checks in the file myself, and they didn't appear to be in alignment with the violation. It seemed like the checks, I believe, preceded the actual inspection by the inspector, which means that the violations occurred after you had the work done, based on what I reviewed in the file and the information that you presented, including those canceled checks.
No, sir. The violations were actually came out in January of 04. Right. And the meeting in April, which I attended, I had told the council that I had already had my painter there and a dumpster, and that I had already had it pressure cleaned and was starting to do the work required.
Okay.
And from that point, April 8th, I was given until June 4th to comply with the violation.
Let me ask you a question then. Well, I actually have two questions, and I think maybe some of the other members might have a similar question as to what my second question is going to be. Why did it take you 8 years to come forward and ask for a lien review?
Well, at present, I always contended this was a bogus and unjust decree that was given me, and I tried to explain that to several of the inspectors in following times. Why, maybe stupid, hard-headed, or what have you, I figured this all was bull, and I had documentation showing that I had fully complied with the violations prior to June 4th, and you have the canceled checks. Last one was made on March to my painter. The other one was April to my painter. The other one was in April to the dumpster, Halifax Wrecking, and also to a electrician for a stolen meter and other problems.
Well, Mr. Roskowitz, actually the violations are not in compliance until the inspector indicates they're in compliance. But let us save a little bit of time. Mr. Garcia has recommended that we reduce your fines or your liens to $500 per property for a total of $1,000. With that in mind, if we agree to vote and accept that recommendation from Mr. Garcia, how long would it take you to come up with the total amount of $1,000?
I could probably do it, what is today, by the end of the month or sooner. I could make a phone call and
okay.
I could probably do it immediately.
Okay. Do you have a question, Mrs. Himes?
No, I had just never saw any compliance, and I was wondering if he knew that in all of this he should have requested a final inspection. Would it be eliminated?
I did request a final inspection, as I'm stating, and I never received any confirmation or disapproval, and I assumed that the violation and the matter was resolved until June 26th when I received a letter from Suzanne Meeks. Yeah, Suzette Meeks, which was over a month after I had finished complying with the order, which was end of May is when I completed the painting and everything on the property. June 4th is the
and
date that I...
A month later you received the lien?
Exactly. Right here. It was written out June 16th, and I received it June 25th. I called June 30th and explained the situation, and apparently she said nothing you can do. I don't know how it even became into compliance, because I had already completed the work back in May. What I'm basically asking the council for a reduction to make it less. You have my statements, my hardships.
Based on the testimony provided by Mr. Garcia, the chair would entertain a motion reducing the green amount on patient CPDs.
Sorry.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. What's your motion, Mr. Bourne's?
To reduce the lien on to a total of $1,000, $500 on each.
Okay. Mr. Bourne's has the motion. Who has the second?
Ms. Himes.
Ms. Himes has the second.
Want to put a payable within 30 days?
Yes, not actually 90 days. For case number CB040472, the lien, Mr. Bourne's has made the motion to reduce the fine or lien amount to $500 payable within 90 days, or it reverts back to the original amount plus interest. And case number CEB040473, Mr. Bourne's also has made a motion, and Ms. Himes has seconded the motion to reduce the lien amount to $500 payable within 90 days, or the lien amount reverts back to the original amount plus interest. Does any member of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, what we've done, Mr. Jaroszewicz, is we have reduced the lien amount to $500 for each property. It is payable within 90 days. If it is not paid within 90 days, it will revert back to the original amount plus interest, plus accrued interest.
How do I go about paying it, or to who?
You'll...
All right.
Can we make sure that we have a correct address for you also, Mr. Roswitz?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you do have it. Okay,
yes.
Great.
I said, and a clear understanding that it is not paid.
Okay. Do you understand what I was saying, Mr. Roswitz?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Case number 1CB091210106, as Ms. Hampton has indicated, is in compliance as of November 5th, 2012. Case number 2 is CEB091211, Daisy M. Jones. Property is located at 565 Live Oak Avenue. Mr. Respondent here. We are here for consideration of imposition of a fine. Morning, Eddie.
Morning. Daisy M. Jones.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I affirm.
Good morning, Ms. Jones. Let us hear from the inspector first, and then we'll take some testimony from you as well.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the property still hasn't had the roof repaired. I did speak with Ms. Jones concerning the property. It's a financial issue that has prolonged the repair of the property. Apparently, she can't seem to find some assistance with the city or with the state to repair the roof. The roof is major damage and needs to be repaired. I believe she has a plan on how to come about on repairing the roof.
Okay. What would you like to tell us, Ms. Jones?
Okay, I would like to say, first of all, that back in 2009, I believe, I had applied through the city for some help. Okay. And at that time, they told me I needed to go and get a contractor to do the work. I did do that, and by the time I got back around to them and given them the all of the paperwork and the contractors, the program had changed, so they put me on another program, and they said in this program I wouldn't have to go around for the contractors, that they would do it. So I did that also twice, and I got turned down because the funds, again, have changed. And I got a letter 2 weeks ago that there were no more funds available, but my name would be on a waiting list, and I do have a copy of that. My name would be on a waiting list, and once they got the money, that they would help me. Well, in the meantime, what I did on my own was try to go about another way getting the finances. So what I did, I went online and seeked some different organizations that stated that they might could help me. And two of them have responded by phone call, and they're reviewing applications that I have given them. And if I'm approved for that, even though it won't be directly for the roofing, but they said I could use it for that, they will give me some assistance, and I don't know how much at this time, what it would be. They couldn't tell me because they do have other people that they help also, but they said that they would come up with something. So that's two different ways that I've tried to do it, in other than trying to put away some extra money to get it. I have contacted a couple of roofers, and one of the roofers, even though I don't have the, he didn't get the paperwork back to me in time, but he stated that he would work with me on this, and if I could maybe come up with half of the money, that he would go ahead, and then he would cut the price, because he knew some people in my family that were in constructions that did the, that would help, that he had helped also, and they had helped him, and he said that he would work with me on that, instead of charging me the full price of what it would be, which would be about $10,000, that he would cut that price down for me. Hopefully, maybe before the week has ended, I will have that letter with the amount in my hand, and then I'll be able to know which directions I'll be able to move. But really, what I'm asking for is some time. I do need a little bit more time, I do. And if I can be given that time, then I will do what I need to do. I'm not trying to shirk my duty or not do it, but it's just that at the time I didn't have the funds. So, and the meeting, I think it was back in, I'm not sure. There was one meeting that I missed, and I did send a letter stating I had, at that particular day, I was at the doctor's, and they did give me a letter to give, and that was why I was not in attendance, because at that time, I would have asked for the extension then. But because of that, I wasn't able to come. But I'm here now. What I'm asking for is some extra time. And I don't know when I'm going to hear from the people that's going to help me, but Lord's willing, I'll hear from them soon. At least I'll know which direction I need to go in. But I do have other means of trying to get the money all up.
Is this a homesteaded property, Ms. Jones?
Yes.
You do live there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was looking at, member of the board have any questions, Ms. Jones?
Yes.
Or Mr. Please. Lopez?
Ms. Jones, how long has the roof been in this condition?
It round about the time of when we had the flood, about that time.
That was several years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago?
2009? Okay.
Yeah, it was 2009.
Three years ago.
And this letter shows where I had applied for assistance. This was back in 2009. Well, this is dated July 2009.
Do you have an extra copy of that, Ms. Jones?
Yeah, you can have this copy.
Give it to Ms. Secretary, Madam Secretary. I was looking at the notice of proposed property tax statement from Volusia County Property Appraisers Office, and it doesn't show an exemption for homestead.
Okay, I did apply for that. I have not gotten anything back from it yet, but I do have a, let me see, I don't know if I have a copy with me, but I did apply for homestead.
When did you apply?
It was, let me see, 2010-11, I believe.
Okay.
But I do have the copy. I don't have it with me now. But I applied for it because at that time my taxes were very high.
Mm-hmm.
And I had talked to someone and they were saying, you need to apply for homestead. And I did go in and apply for that. I do have a copy at home, even though I don't have it right here.
Okay.
Were you living there at the time that the roof was in this condition?
Yes, I was at that time.
Mm-hmm. And you owned the home then?
I didn't own the home until after my mother passed away in 2008. And that it, and I didn't own it like right then after she passed it. Through some other procedures, and then it was probably about 2009 before we got all the paperwork back stating what went to what person. So it wasn't in 2008. It would have been 2009 or 10.
So you have the homestead now.
I have the application that I filled out and gave over on Beach Street.
Where yeah, you can yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do have, but I have a copy of it. I just don't have the copy. I thought I had it with me, but I don't.
Have you followed up with them at all, Ms. Jones?
No, because they said that I would get something in the mail.
When did you apply for that?
It would have been back in 2000. To be honest, I can't give you the exact date,
mm-hmm.
but it would have been at least within 2 years ago. Within.
Huh. Okay, and could you describe what your hardship has been for the last few years?
Yeah, first of all.
That impacted why the roof hasn't been fixed?
Okay. I was trying to put away some money to fix the roof, but I got sick back in 2011, and I was out of work for about 5 months. My medical bills were very expensive at that time, and of course, I'm still, you know, in the process of trying to get those paid because it was very, it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, so... From that, one thing went to another. And then when I went back to work, I was trying to do catching up and do different things that I needed to do. And basically, in March of this year, I kind of took sick again.
So are you working now?
Yes, I'm working. Okay.
Can I ask you how many square feet your house is? Do you have an idea? I'm asking because $10,000 seems high to me for the roof.
I don't really know.
Okay.
The square feet, but I can find out.
Or whether it includes new sheathing.
It's
going to
be measured just, now.
It's not a measure of just, it's not just going to be shingled. They're going to have to put now new sheathing on
yeah,
it and everything.
Yeah, it's going to do everything from front, I mean from the back all the way to the front.
Okay.
But he said that on the estimation that he gives me, he will give me the square feet of it. He will. In fact, he's having somebody go and measure it so that he can put that down on paper, too.
I would give you an estimate of just looking at the pictures, Ms. Kundick. I would guess it's anywhere from about 1,000 and 1,300 per square feet based on what I can see on the pictures.
Mm-hmm. And he said because everything has gone up or whatever, the shingles and all mostly, that's basically the price that he would have to give me. but he would cut that down some to help me out.
Mr. Jones, I was a former developer, and I built houses, and I think that's very high also. I agree with Ms. Kundick.
Mm-hmm.
That's very high for a roof of that size, regardless of what's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a fair amount. Let me ask you, though, based on your circumstances and depending on the action that we take, how much time do you think you would need? And we're also taking into account that you're waiting for a decision for help, so.
Okay. If I don't get the help from the city, they said like after the first of the year, I guess they'll know what will be allotted to them, mm-hmm. and then they can get back with me to tell me how much they would help me with. But if I don't get that help, then I need at least 6 months, I do. Because that way I feel like that I would have everything. And, of course, the guy that will be doing the measuring and doing checking everything for me, he will not be the only person as far as the estimation is concerned, because I do know that you have to get more than one estimate to try to get the best deal.
Mrs. Jones, could I ask you, did you check when you applied to the city and when they came out, when you applied to the city and they came out, no one gave you, the square feet or approximately how much it would cost? Because
no,
I'm also in accord with them. I think you need to probably also go back to the city and see, are there any funds available?
Okay, I'll do that.
And the county as well.
The only thing that, let me see. Besides that letter that I gave her, basically the only thing I would get was, sometimes in the letters I didn't get a real good explanation as to what they wanted me to do, and I would call and say, well, this is just a copy of whatever, and they said, well, you need to follow that. I got things like brochures and things that really didn't explain a whole lot. So,
okay.
But I will do that.
Let me hear from Mr. Lopez just for a moment, Ms. Jones.
Okay.
He's the inspector.
This is kind of what I would get. Like, I just want to show you this real quick. Sometimes I wouldn't get a letter, just something that gave me like a little brochure.
Right.
Explain whatever.
Okay. Eddie, what's the city's position? Ms. Jones is saying she needs 6 months. What's the city's position?
1 second, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Allow me.
Is this an extra copy for the record, or is that your copy? But do I have another copy? This is for the record, then? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I have another copy.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, for the record, the property, it's 1,352 square feet under roof, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have exceeded 180 days. We tried different avenues to try to bring assistance. And I know Mr. Charles Bryant was here. The funds weren't there. The city's requesting $100 a day for each day of noncompliance. 180 days have since passed, and we're still in the same situation.
If I may, can I ask Mr. Bryant to come up, if you don't mind, Charles?
Morning. Charles Bryant, Redevelopment Project Manager.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is truthful, truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Charles, I basically wanted to ask you to come up because you pretty much work with these types of programs, and I want to know from your perspective when funding might be available or if it might be available.
I think the letter that she has, I haven't seen it, but I think it's probably come from the Community Development Department. Is that correct?
Yeah,
it comes from, it's signed by Mr. Emery Council. I don't know when their funds would be available. I know when the funds would be available for the redevelopment department, it's understandable that it would take a period of time for them to know when and where they would have funding to assist her, because I've tried to assist Ms. Jones a couple years back with the World Changes Program. The problem with the roof is it's dangerous to the point that I don't think it's dangerous for her to live in, but for someone who's going up and tried to repair the roof, because at the time these were kids that actually assisted her sister with her house. And we tried to get her on the same program, but I think it's to the point that rafters and everything else is going to have to be replaced. That might be one of the reasons for the cost that people were giving her, because they're not. If you look at the house, it needs more than just shingles and plywood. It probably needs new rafters and everything else. And maybe the point that Community Development Department is looking at is not only doing the roof. More than likely, if you look at the house, they might even do a reconstruction, meaning tearing down the house and building a new house. That's a possibility that they may be looking at, because I'm sure Mr. Lopez has looked at the house probably from a standpoint of painting, and he's probably new windows. It needs a lot of work, and community development is not just going to put a roof on a shell. They will tear down the whole house and reconstruct and do a new house. And that might be some of the problem with the hold up of the funding for this particular project. From my aspect, I'm not speaking for them, but being in that department, working in that department for over 7 years, that's what I'm looking at.
Mr. Bryant, in your experience, what would their timeline be? If best guesstimate, since I know you don't work in that department.
Well, one of the problems that come across with community development is that they're looking at, like I say, they might be looking at tearing down the house, building a new house, where they got to look at where she's going to live during the time frame that their reconstruction house, because they assist people with moving, storing their furnishing and all of that. So when they come back to her and say, you approve for this, then they're going to have all this already in place for her. So it takes them time, and the fact that she's probably on a waiting list. I don't know where she is on that waiting list. So she might be correct in saying, 6 months down the road, that they might come back and say, we are able to assist you with that. But I agree with her. I know she's been looking at other avenues, because I work with her, and I've been trying to do so also to try to assist her in the past. I haven't talked to her recently, but I did talk to her in the past to try to help her.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask Charles, what is the typical funding period for community development?
It's October 1. So they should know, pretty soon.
So she had to have a follow-up within the last month or so. She may need to call up with them to see what her status is.
This letter was October 12th.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's been in contact with them. They still, the letter to me says that we haven't denied you. We are still trying to assist you.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a few more questions?
Sure.
Ms. Jones, where did you live prior to living in this home?
I did live in the home.
So before 2009 you lived here?
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't own it. Your mother owned it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Was there any insurance on the house? Homeowner's insurance?
At that time it was. Yeah,
at the time of the damage to the roof, there was homeowner's insurance?
Okay, there was insurance. I don't have the paperwork,
Charles,
but I can get it.
Ms. Jones, can you move?
Did you make a claim?
Did I do what?
Did you make a claim for homeowner's insurance?
Okay, after the flood time period, there was no insurance. But before that is what I'm saying there was.
Are you saying during the period of the hurricane or flooding, there was no insurance?
No, okay. There was none.
Did you contact FEMA?
Yes, I did.
And did that get processed?
I contacted them, did all the paperwork, and I was turned down.
Did they give you a reason?
I can't really say what the reason was, but I have everything down. I have it down. I just don't want to say anything that's not true or whatever. I want to say exactly what it was, but I do have that paperwork.
This is for Eddie. Eddie, is the house, do you think that if there's rafter damage and all kinds of damage, do you think the house is safe to live in?
I have no first-hand knowledge on the interior, okay, seeing the rafters, mm-hmm, but seeing the roof before the tarp, because I requested for her to put the tarp up, it's just plywood, and I'm sure there's water damage in the interior. I'm sure there's extensive damage that could be in there, but I have no evidence of that currently.
Recognizing that she's working with the departments to try and get the problem fixed, Ms. Jones, is the house occupied?
At this time, it's not. I live, when I got sick in 2011, I moved in with my sister, and I'm still over there right now. But I do go back and forth, like, to do, you know, different things or whatever. But right now, I'm still with Jack.
I have two questions. You spoke before about applying for the homestead exemption. Do you really qualify for one if you're not living there? If you do, that should be very easy to get. I just went through that process, and you go down on Beach Street and fill out the forms, and that's it.
Okay, I do have a copy of the form, sir. I have a copy of where I applied. And I don't know why I have not received anything back in the mail, but my copy is home at this time, and I can get it and bring it here if I need to. I did apply for the homestead.
Now, Mr. Bryant, you mentioned regarding the rafters. I think it was, 2003 that the standards for wind mitigation changed? Is the damage such that those standards are going to have to be met when this is fixed?
I can't answer that question. I'm not an architect or a roofer. I can't answer those questions. Just observing what I saw and what was told to me for the program, for the World Changes program, they wouldn't let the kids go on the roof. But other than that, I mean, I can't answer that question.
But if the damage is such that you have to meet those standards, yes, the price would go up considerably.
Well, sure. I agree with that. I agree with that. That's why I'm saying that community development, the way they're probably looking at it, they have been expected to go out and check and make sure before they commit to what kind of funding they would assist her with, because they need to know all of that. That's why I say, in all probability, looking at this house, I think if I was the person that would make the decision, it would be to tear down the house and build a new house.
I think she had a very difficult time getting a reasonably priced insurance policy if she doesn't meet those standards.
Yeah, that could be an issue also with the Community Development Department. I don't know if she has insurance right now. That could be an issue also.
I would like to move on this thing. We're in the, do we have a homestead? Do we have insurance? How long do you live in the house? Is the property in compliance or is it not in compliance? And do we want to give an extension to allow the applicant to get that money? I think that's the issue. You can't become building contractors here and financial people.
Well, the basis for me asking if it was homestead, speaking for only myself, Mr. Heron, was just to determine if it was a rental property or if it was actually homestead. That was my reason for that. Do you have a motion that you'd like to put forward?
I like the recommendation from the city is a $100 a day fine.
That's correct.
Well, we know that's not going to get paid, so I don't know where we. A realistic recommendation is that there be some minor fine, and that we try to work with it to either do or not do. It's not in compliance. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened, and it doesn't look like financially there's a plan. We don't even know what needs to be fixed. There probably is a lot more than the roof. My question to you, Eddie, is are there other violations there that you could determine?
Currently, no. The main violation that was issued was for the roof. The main
major life, health, and safety issues of concern.
Mr. Chair.
That's what was cited.
Okay.
The city is requesting until January cutoff that you give a time to work with someone and obtain some type of funds or means to repair the roof or demolish or take the next step that she needs to take.
Okay.
Come into compliance.
I'll make a motion then that you we give her until the cutoff date.
Hold on, Ms. Smart. Let me, Ms. Himes had a comment or something before you make a motion,
okay.
If you would. Go ahead, Ms. Himes.
I was going to make the motion to give her the 3 months period in that time. Maybe all the other sources she might have could come in.
Yeah.
Because as Mr. Harrington said, we are just speeding up that.
Right, right. Mr. Smart.
The bottom line is, we're not seeking to get money from you. We want compliance.
Right, I understand.
I'll make a motion that we give her until the cutoff date of January 2nd, 2013, to get this thing resolved. I mean, one way or another.
That's you know, 2 months.
Either you've got it set so you can have a contractor do it, or you don't. And at that point, then we review to determine if we're going to fine you or how we're going to handle this.
Yes, we do.
What were they?
Mrs. Himes had the first motion, so we have to address her motion first.
I said 3 months.
3 months, February cutoff, Mrs. Himes.
Second motion.
Okay. We have a motion by Mrs. Himes to allow Mrs. Jones until the February 6, 2013 cutoff date to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day, and that amends our previous order. We have a second already. I think Mr. Harrington seconded the motion. Are there any questions or comments?
Well, I just wanted to comment on Mr. Harrington's comments. The reason I ask so many questions is to help me determine what my vote's going to be, to see if there was an effort made for compliance or an effort made for all the other things. And this is... And some of the answers led me to a decision. And the fact that no one's in this house now and that it's in such bad shape, which we wouldn't have known if we didn't ask those questions. So that's why I asked so many questions. Thank you.
No, I have no problem with the questions. I'm just saying the answers aren't solving the problem.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign?
No. Aye.
We have one opposed, Ms. Kundick. What we've done, Ms. Jones, we've amended our previous order, and we're going to allow you until February 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance,
okay.
Or you'll be returned before the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. I would recommend that you keep in contact with Mr. Lopez and communicate with him as frequently as possible regarding what's happening, especially if you can get approval or denial regarding the programs that you're seeking help with. That would help him to come before the board and keep us informed as well. But also, just outside of this, I would recommend that you just go over and follow up on your exemption status as well.
Okay.
That may be helpful.
I will.
Okay. Do you have any questions at all?
No, I don't.
Okay. Thanks very much. We need a vote. Oh, we got it. One is Kundick opposed. Okay. We're all set. Okay. Thanks, Ms. Jones. Case number 3 is CEB 1012121, George and I guess it's Siona Henderson. Property is located at 828 Magnolia Avenue. Is the respondent here? And we're here for consideration of imposition of a fine. What can you tell us about it?
Mr. Chairman, the property is currently not in compliance. The city is requesting $100 a day for each day, capped at 15.
Have you had any communication with the respondent?
I've been present with them, but they just stoic, don't want to say anything. Told them there was a hearing. And get no communication from them. So,
are they residing in the home with the damage?
Yes, sir.
Roof?
Are there any other, any additional questions or comments? The inspector, Ms. Lopez, recommended that we fine the respondents $100 per day until compliance is achieved. Was it up to $10,000?
$15,000
non-homestead. Well, the maximum amount of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Let's see. Don't go too far, Eddie. If we can skip around just to take care of Mr. Lopez's cases, we can go to number 15. Let me just read his other cases into the record, as Ms. Hampton has done as well. Case number 14, which is CEB 1112129, is in compliance as of November 7th, 2012. Case number 16, CEB 1112131, is in compliance again as of November 7th, 2012. So, yes.
Just to correct, the maximum amount is
$10,000. Okay. Thank you.
Case number three.
Okay. Prior case with.
Case number three. Max of 10 instead of 15.
Okay. Based on information provided by Mr. Garcia, the for case number three, CEB 1012121, the fine amount is $100 per day. Well, the maximum amount, to correct the record, is $10,000. Thank you. Okay, case number 15 is CEB 1112130, Michael Lloyd. Property is located at 735 Marion Street. Mr. Respondent here. Going to determine compliance and non-compliance and set a compliance date.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number CEB 1112130. City of Daytona Beach versus Michael Lloyd. Property address is 735 Marion Street. Parcel ID number is 3915-336500070. Pictures you're about to see are true and accurate for what I observed. This property is a rental property currently. It's vacant. The property owner, Mr. Lloyd, lives out of Durham, North Carolina. Property was posted due to the return mail. I did speak with Mr. Lloyd over the phone, got his current address, which is 1301 Odyssey Drive, O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y, Drive in Durham, North Carolina. Zip code there is 27713, apartment K, as in Kathy. As I said, this property was a rental property. It's currently vacant. The tenants have moved. The property has plumbing issues, exhaust vents damage, stairs and patios, as you can see in the pictures, that are damaged, weathered or rotten wood. The stairways and handrails need to be addressed. The windows and doors are rotten or weathered, need to be addressed. The windows don't open accordingly with its own power, stand up and with its own power. Also, the exterior doors on the property is weathered and damaged, needs to be addressed. The foundation walls, the flooring seems to be tilt, so it might be some damage, maybe some damage to the foundation of this property. When I did my inspection on the interior flooring was uneven. Also, the roof has some damage, is weathered and needs to have the shingles replaced. As I said earlier, the general plumbing of the property needs to be addressed. The plumbing is not installed correctly. It's not fitted. We have loose piping. Mechanical appliances that are in the property is not in working order. And no fire alarm or fire system is installed on the property for the safety of the tenant, seeing that this is a rental property. The city is requesting 30 days to next cutoff to come into compliance, or fine be imposed of $100 a day. This concludes my presentation.
Okay. Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Lopez, chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until December 5th, 2012 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mrs. Kundig, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, sir.
Can I ask a question after this?
Is that involving the case?
Is there anything can be done to preclude this individual from renting out this place in the meantime? If you have all, it's a problem here. It appears that it would not be safe for people living there.
What would be your suggestion, sir?
Well, in order to rent, he needs a rental license, and I don't know.
Well, he doesn't have a rental license either. I did mention to him to board up the property until he decides what he's going to do with the property, either demo it or do the repairs. It's going to be an extensive amount of financial hardship on him to do all the repairs that's required. He could demo the property. It's be on his decision.
It was. It's vacant, though, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Okay. Currently, it's vacant as of today. Yes, sir.
Right. Okay.
I also did cite it for the other rental license, sir.
Okay. The reason I didn't include that in the motion is because it was vacant. Do we need to add it?
Yes.
Okay. Who had the motion again?
I did.
Ms. Kuhn?
I'm willing to amend my motion.
On, what was that? 15. Case number 15, CB1112130, Ms. Kunick has amended her motion to include that the respondent be required to obtain an occupational license or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time $250 administrative fee as well. And Mr. Smart, would you? Okay. And Mr. Smart has amended his second as well. Okay. Are there any additional questions? Okay, thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, sir.
Did we vote on the amended motion?
Oh, do we? Okay. All those in favor of the amendment to the motion and the second, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number 5 is CEB1012116, Robert and Chantel, I guess, Pesky?
Pesci, I guess.
Pesci, okay. Property is located at 128 South Wild Olive Avenue. Is the respondent here?
No, he's not.
Okay.
He resides in Canada, and I've been keeping in contact by email and phone. He had recently hired a new property manager by the name of Mr. Ellis. Mr. Ellis and I have been keeping in touch, and what he has done is he's repaired the walkway. He's repaired the broken windows. He's pressure cleaned the exterior, and he's replaced missing soffits. He's also removed some of the outside storage. I'm asking to amend to the next cutoff to allow him a little more time so he can paint, and also he'd like to replace the windows because they're still not operable. They seem to be old, jalous windows and whatnot, and he's going to need a pull permit. The other thing he needs to do is he has to remove the remainder of the outside storage in the rear. So we're asking for a little more time.
Okay.
December 5th work? That's the next call.
Yeah, next call, yeah.
Are we pretty certain that he can do that, Danny?
I told him that I'll be looking for a fine if not.
Okay.
Because he's had some time. He did come into town. Not so long ago, he didn't let me know that he was, which we talked about doing that. And then within that time that was here, all he did was repair a broken window.
Okay. Do you want to do a fine certain, or do you want to wait until next month to?
What do you suggest? Fine certain.
Okay. Do you have a recommendation in terms of the amount?
I'd say $50 a day. $100 a day.
What effective date do you want to make it? Do you want to make it today, or do you want to make it December 5th, if he doesn't bring it into compliance?
We'll do it today.
Today, okay. Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Garcia, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until December 5th, 2012 to bring the property into compliance, or have a fine certain of $100 per day with a maximum amount of $15,000, Danny?
That's correct.
$15,000 effective today, November 8th, 2012, if the property is not brought into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
I got two more if you want to.
Just for the record, I'm just going to read case number four, which is CEB 091297 William S. Gay. That property is in compliance as of November 7th, 2012. Ten is next. That was which one?
What was that? That was number four.
I was just reading that one into the record, Ms. Himes. Number four. Case number 10 is CEB 1112125 Hugh H. and Cynthia A. Barrett. Property is located at 149 South Hollywood Avenue, number four. We're here to determine compliance and noncompliance based on the determination by the inspector there's no occupational license.
My name is Officer Garcia. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is City of Daytona Beach versus Hugh H. and Cynthia A. Barrett. Property address 149 South Hollywood Avenue, apartment number 4. Parcel ID number 09153307250210. And the violation is no occupational license. And based on the evidence provided, our staff is requesting that the property be in compliance by the December cutoff for the no occupation license.
And a meeting there.
Correct. Well, I believe it's for the entire, but for what I cited him for, what happened is to go back, this was a bunch of violations on that one unit. And they corrected everything except for this one. And that he's trying to work with Colleen Miles now on getting that rectified. Apparently, he's going to tell you there are some items that they need to bring in to do so.
My name is Hugh Barrett. Yes, I do.
Morning, Mr. Barrett. What would you like to tell us about the case that we're reviewing?
Well, I didn't really know that I was not in compliance with the occupational license. It's actually been in effect since we had purchased the property back in 94. Somehow it lapsed. I don't really at this point know how, but I have talked to Ms. Miles on the phone and had been attempting to meet with her in her office, but she's been in and out for one reason or another. And we've come to an agreement what documents I need to bring and pay for the license. I think it's like $40 a year. I just, like I said, I've got other licenses that are kept current, and that one I somehow missed.
Okay. And are you certain that you can have your occupational license on or before December 5th?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Do you agree that the property was in or not in compliance at the time that you were notified?
Yes, I didn't know that it was a non-compliance, but I've been made aware of that here in the last 30 days.
Based on information provided by the inspector as well as the respondent, Mr. Hugh Barrett, Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliant and allowing respondent until December 5th, 2012 to bring the property into compliance by obtaining an occupational license or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, thanks, Mr. Barrett. If you have any questions or comments, I mean problems, running, make sure you communicate with Mr. Gunn.
I've been in touch with the officer a number of times. Thank you
thanks
very much.
For coming. Case number 11 is CEB 1112126, John and Francis Witherspoon. Property is located at 315 Michigan Avenue. We're here to determine compliance and non-compliance.
I'm Officer Garcia. This is City of Daytona Beach versus John and Francis Witherspoon. Property address 315 Michigan Avenue. Parcel ID number 38153332000560. And the violations are extensive. There's a list, an attachment, and as you're going through them now, it was because of fire damage. So I'm going to turn you over to the owners here and let them explain.
Danny, can we see that list?
It's making
its way around.
Okay. I'll need a minute to look at it, too, please, if it's that long.
It is extensive.
Thank you.
Everything from a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from a fire.
Good morning.
Hi.
What's your name, please?
Francis Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Good morning, Ms. Witherspoon.
Hi.
The members of the board are reviewing the attachments that were provided by Mr. Garcia just to determine what the violations are.
Oh, okay. I'll do that, too.
Mr. Smart, did you need to see it?
Yes.
You can go ahead, Dan, if you don't mind. You can just begin to fill us in on this, what's going on. It's visible there is fire damage, and like you said, the list is extensive in terms of
basically, this was a they did have permits at one time, and they were doing some repairs, and then there was a fire. I don't know how it started, but it was a fire, and John Stenson was the one that actually did the site inspection on the fire and posted it and explained to them that they needed to have it boarded up and whatnot. I did the paperwork on the long form, and those are the pictures that he had taken. After that, I had spoken to the owner and discussed on what was going to be done, if it was going to be repaired, demolished. They had wanted to repair. They said they're going to need some time to get permits and whatnot, but it's been a while, and we're looking to see what their decision is on if they still decide on pulling the permits, making repairs, or having it demolished.
Okay.
We put some things together that might help, that can show what we've done. Unfortunately, I only have 7 copies. So if somebody could share, but what it is, we can go through the pictures and show you what's there, can show you some of the correspondence with Edith Shelley and Kelly White, and it gives a little background also on this property since we bought it in August of 2008, and I'll be quiet.
Ms. Witherspoon or Mr. Witherspoon, did you all have insurance on the property?
No, we didn't. Our overall plan when we bought the property in 2008 was to fix up 315. We bought 315 Michigan Avenue and 309 Michigan Avenue and closed on the same day. 315 was in non-compliance at the time, and it was something like a $16,000 fine. And anyway, we were ignorant. I was mainly the one behind this, so I was the most ignorant, that we were not going to be able to fix the property ourselves because we didn't have homestead exemption here. We still had it in Georgia. The plan was to fix 315 up, move down here into it, then rent our house out in Georgia. But we couldn't get building permits, even though John's been a builder for many, many years. So something changed a couple of years later, and we were able to get a permit if we agreed not to rent or sell within a year, and so which was not a problem with us because we didn't want to do either of those things. So that's when we got the building permit. Then life happened. We went back to check on John's dad, found out we'd been burglarized for a second time since we'd been down in Florida. We did have insurance for that. But dealing with John's dad's sickness and death and the burglary, then we had a tornado destroy our RV 3 days after John's dad died. Anyway, then the fire happened, and we did not have insurance, but we were sort of thankful, which sounds crazy, because we'd already had two burglaries. We'd had to claim one in the RV in the tornado, and, you know, who would want to insure us anyway? But anyway, the plan was once the house was fixed up, then we'd be able to get insurance on it. And so that's where we are and were. So we did meet, or we happened to cross, which turned out great. And very soon we tried to get our building permit so that we could fix the house. We talked with Colleen. She told us that we couldn't. The house was either going to have to be turned down or turned into a business, which meant we had to put a retention pond, parking spaces, that it couldn't be our residence. So that's why Miss Shelley and Miss White, I think, were trying to help us. And it in here is a letter from Mr. Chisholm, and I'm sorry. Anyway, I tried to include everything and to show the damage, and this is the damage in that's in the house. I mean, it's that one room that was damaged, and the fire inspector feels that it started in the attic. He's not certain, and it could have been a critter. It could have been, I mean, you know, who knows? But that was it. And this picture is in there to show that this is the room closest to where the fire was, and the only damage in there is smoke and water, and then where the fire crews, you know, had to fight the fire. They did an excellent job, I can not tell you, because we were in Georgia and we had two neighbors call us right away. And so we couldn't get down here till that evening. But anyway, that just shows that the house doesn't need to be torn down. But if we can't get a permit to do it, because through our different conversations with different people, what we found is not only can it not be a residence anymore, we've got to get engineers and architects and draw up all these plans. We don't have that kind of money. We're just people trying to do the right thing. I mean, we wanted to move down here. We'd lived in Volusia County before over in DeBary. Well, we had a house over there. And we've tried to work with the city, I mean, from the very beginning. And, you know, we're not just talking about the fire, we're talking about the other, but now they're saying pretty much that they have done I think the term's reverse condemnation, that, you know, your property is worth nothing anymore, even though it is worth plenty. I don't know, and I don't know if the information I've handed y'all explains anything. I mean, helps. We don't know. We don't know what to do. We hope y'all can help us do something or be able to do something.
Based on the information that both yourself and Mr. Garcia provided, Ms. Witherspoon, and considering the property has been zoned as a business, and considering the extensive damage and high cost, I would imagine, because you can't occupy it as a residence, what's your intention for the property?
Well, it's in a residential area. I mean, and I don't know from the letter. I think it was an administrative thing done 15 years ago. And we've also been told that it really wasn't supposed to touch property like ours. I mean, when that was made, a lot of that was because of what people were doing in practice, builders and developers. And so we are, this property, this house, is the third off of Ridgewood.
Is it on the west side of Ridgewood?
It is on the west side of Ridgewood. We own the two lots right on Ridgewood that go back the 90 feet for both of these properties that we also own.
In a corner vacant lot, which that was one of the reasons why I got a hold of them, was I had cited for the overgrown grass, but they took care of it right away from out of town. The next door from there is where
we were
also.
Right. Staying there, at, you know, to fix up the 315 so that we could move into it. And so if, because of this, we have to put a business, of course, then we'd stay in 309. I mean, that would be our home. But then we're going to have a business that's in between two residents. I mean, who's going to do that? Because there's a residence on the other side and a resident on the other side.
You wouldn't be able to put a business in. Simple fact, you don't have the room. The lot's not big enough. You can't get in your seven parking places. You can't put a retention pond in a 10 by 12 area. It's, nothing's worked. We are hand tied.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the city's taking our property away from us, really, by this regulation. I mean, if it was your house,
you'd be in the same situation we're in right now. And I don't think many people up and down this street know what can happen to them if a big storm comes through here.
Right.
They can't rebuild, according to
Colleen,
the codes and everything that are done now. Because right now we're in non-compliance, and we cannot get into compliance. It's virtually impossible to, unless we can go back as a single resident.
Danny, let me ask, considering the amount of damage and the violations, does it exceed the 65% rule?
I'll tell you, the fire started upstairs.
Hold on, Mr. Williams.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
can't
say.
Okay.
I can tell you that there is another home on that same block that's in bad condition also, and also on the corner of Fairview and Ridgewood, mm-hmm. next to that vacant lot, there's another one, and that's the problem. It's an eyesore for the area, and they'd like to either have these buildings either repaired or demolished right now, where we don't have to see the light.
So Witherspoons are basically saying they're willing to repair the damage.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And that they have the financial ability to repair the damage, but somehow this...
That they
want to
turn it into a business.
No, we don't.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But... so what... I guess I'm confused. I guess we need to find out what the land development code says and whether this is... I mean, I don't know that we have any control. Have you been to other boards, like the Board of Adjustments or the... No, you haven't been to any hearings?
Well, we didn't know what to go for, but because the people, and that's why when Ms. Shelley and who he really had, I think, had contacted Mr. Chisholm, and I don't know why I'm, his name's escaping me, but had gone to them, and they were saying this. I mean, we were in a catch-22. It's just like somebody threw us in the ocean.
I'm thinking we're going to have to amend to get more information, looking at clarification on what they can and cannot do and where to go from there. This is why I brought it here, to find out what's the holdup and why not.
And we've been trying to get answers. You can see that we've been working on this, and there's been a lot of phone calls on top of these emails and everything as well. We can't get any answers. It's like everything's got to be redone, or we would have to get a variance from the city or something in order to do this.
August 25th, 2008. And so it's been a drain financially. I beg your pardon? Well, it was resident as far as we knew. And so when this happened and we wanted to get the building permit, they said, no, you can't. Yeah. That you're now in non-compliance.
That we are in non-compliance.
Do you have an attorney when you closed on this property?
A closing agency. And now, we have title insurance. But, of course, you know, what's that going to do? We're going to lose our property.
I can see if I can schedule calling Miles to come and explain.
Okay. Let me just ask a question, Ms. Witherspoon. And we're considering, I would assume, amending our order to gather more information. But how long, in your best estimate, do you think you all will need in terms of time to repair the property? And
the question is
without regard to the zoning and those things, I'm just asking, just a general question.
Virtually, almost immediately. I mean, I need probably 3 or 4 weeks to get everything set up and get down here and get all the work done to it. I know that looks bad, but it's not that bad. It happened upstairs. It's contained to one bedroom. We got a roof problem up there that's like a 10 by 12. We got to replace 6 rafters, plywood. Then we can tie into the old roof, and it's sealed off.
Okay.
But right now, we can't touch it.
Danny, do you want to continue until next month?
I'd say continue.
Okay.
The next month to find out what, and I can have Colleen here explain.
Okay. Do we need a motion or anything to continue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of the holidays, I'm thinking 68.
Okay.
Well, we can determine compliance and non-compliance. Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I agree with Tom.
Okay. Mr. and Ms. Witherspoon, do you all agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time you were notified?
Probably not, because I did not go through this list. We'd have to go through one by one. There were things
on
there.
Was the property damaged?
Property damage, yes. Fire damage, yes.
Okay. Yeah. We corrected a lot of the stuff that we could.
Yeah.
Got
clean up.
All the trash is cleaned up.
Right.
It's the house is locked up. No, it's we can't get in. It's boarded up, and we've done everything that we could.
Okay.
To a point.
Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector and the respondents, Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondents in non-compliance.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Brown. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? This is simply for non-compliance, Mrs. Cundy. We're not voting on anything except
I'm not
that.
Sure what the non-compliance is if they're not allowed to fix it.
We'll address that in just a moment.
Okay.
This is just to determine if the property was in non-compliance at the time that they were notified back in March. What you're referring to is separate. But we'll address that after we handle
damage.
This one.
Yeah.
Was the only question I would be answering was there fire damage?
That's what we're
is there
addressing
fire
right
damage?
Now.
Yes. Okay.
We're asking if they were aware that the violations existed at the time they were notified. And that's everything that we're addressing at this point. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Tony?
I don't think that's really the question. And I guess if we ask the question, either asking them or you making a determination based on the facts we're presented, the question's going to have to be, and I believe the answer is still that it's not compliance, but the question is,
did the violations exist?
In the condition
yes.
And did they either demolish, repair, rezone, or whatever it would take to comply.
Okay.
The conclusion is they didn't do any of those things because mm-hmm. they've been trying to figure things out. But the answer is that those things have not been done,
right.
at least from the period that the right. inspector would have needed done, and okay. that's why we're before the board. But the board makes some decisions for anal now.
Okay.
That's where to get some clarification mm-hmm. of what ultimately they're going to do. But they, for the options that they had available, none of those options were ultimately exercised.
Okay.
The only issue in front of us now is compliance or non-compliance.
Right.
You say you need additional information to tell us what some of the options are. That's not in front of us right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the property's damaged. Okay, are they aware of it? Mm-hmm. And yes, they're non-compliant.
Right.
And then we go on if we're going to do.
And the only thing that was done on the list was securing the property to city standards, yeah. which they have. It is secure.
Yeah. And we're only addressing, again, just compliance, non-compliance at this stage. We're not imposing a compliance date or anything. This is simply to determine compliance. Okay. Okay. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, sign. Mr. Garcia has recommended that we continue the case until our next meeting of December 13th. Is that right?
I thought it said.
Did you say 60 or 30? How many days?
60 days. Okay, January 10th then, in order to allow the respondents and city staff to obtain additional information. Mr. Garcia has recommended we continue it until January 10th, 2013, our meeting of January 10th.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. What we've done, Mr. and Ms. Witherspoon, we're going to, because we need to obtain additional information and you all need to obtain additional information as well, we're going to continue the case until January 10th, 2013. At that time, you all can come back before the board and we'll hopefully have additional information regarding zoning and damages and those types of things. And then we'll make some determinations at that point based on testimony and information provided by city staff as well as you all.
Okay, thank you. And we will be here. And I will mention on that last page, I saw the little red X. That is about the size of the damage on the roof and just about where it is.
At that time, if you all have additional information or you something you feel will be helpful, bring that in with you, testimony from engineers or draftsmen, architects, whatever you have that you believe will be helpful.
If it would help somebody, but if not, I'll take them back.
Let him.
Okay.
Yeah. Amy, did you get a copy?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are seven floating around. And
it's not my business, but...
Neil, is your mic on?
Yep.
Okay. Danny.
Red lights on.
Danny.
That'd be on the record.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just have one comment for you. I would strongly suggest, and it's not my prerogative to tell you this, but I'm going to get some professional help with land use. You're in above the level of this board when you start talking about land use, and there's some very good people who you might want to talk to as you pursue this.
And because it's above our head too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Just for the record, case number 12 is CEB 1112127. The property is in compliance as of October 29, 2012. Case number 13, CEB 1112128, is in compliance as of November 7th, 2012. We've read case 14 into the record, and we've resolved that. Let's go backward.
Number 9.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
You're number 9?
Yep.
Okay. Case number 9 is CEB 1112124, Carolyn. Is it Rickenny? The property is located at 1225 Waverly Drive, and we're going to determine compliance and non-compliance.
Carolyn Rickenny. Yes.
But what can you tell us about it?
Good morning. My name is Michael Fitzgerald. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. Case number CEB 1112124, City of Daytona Beach versus Carolyn Riccanni. Property address is 1225 Waverly Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 36-1432-0603-0150. Violations are outside storage, paint, fading and peeling, garage door that wouldn't close properly, broken or loose tiles on the front porch. Notice of the hearing affidavit was sent by mail, returned, and we posted the property both here and at City Hall. Presentation will consist of exhibits A1 through A13, exhibits B1 through B3. The property is non-compliant at this time.
Okay.
Looking for next cutoff.
Mr. McKinney, what would you like to tell us? Has there been
Do we have pictures?
Yes.
I'll share these with you.
Okay, thank you.
They're not in color, but I think we can still get some type of idea as to what's going on. Ms. McKinney, is there anything you'd like to tell us?
The garage door has been fixed. Okay. And I cleaned up the yard. And apparently I didn't have my garbage can on the side of the house. That was the problem. It was in front of my driveway. And the paint, as far as that's concerned, I have the paint. I have a 5-gallon thing of paint in my garage. It's getting help, getting a pressure washer by myself, and just getting the help to do it, the work. I mean, if I have to get out there myself and scrape it with my fingernails, that's what I'll have to do. But I do have a friend that I think is going to get me a pressure washer. Sadly, he's in New Jersey right now helping the Sandy victims.
Okay.
So.
What about the loose towels on the front porch?
I would imagine I could just get some cement and fix them.
Mr. Barnes. Mr. Fitzgerald has recommended that we allow you until December 5th to bring the property to compliance. Do you think that'll be a sufficient amount of time?
December 5th? Like,
yes.
Have it painted and everything by then?
Everything, yes.
I guess so. If I have to, I have to.
Is that enough time? That's what we're asking.
I would like a little more time.
Here's your photos.
How much time do you think you would need to comfortably bring the property into compliance?
Well, again, with the holidays approaching, it would be nice if I could get through the holidays and maybe
January.
That would be great.
Do you think you can have everything done by January 2nd?
Yeah, if I have to, yes, I will.
Do you agree with that, Michael?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Ms. Himes?
She just said through the holidays, and it's November now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would like to see her come back in maybe February and it's completed, then to come back January, and then you ask them for more time.
That'd be great.
That's
they were trying to get you to say that.
Oh, well, sorry, I don't know. I've never had to deal with this,
okay,
so I don't
how
know.
How much time do you think you'll need? 1 month? 2 months?
Okay, 3 years? No. February is fine.
That Michael, is that acceptable for the city?
Yes, with the holidays, I could see what that would be.
Yeah.
Is that a motion then?
Not yet. Let me ask Ms. Riccanni, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time you were notified of those violations?
Can you say it, repeat it again? I'm sorry.
Do you agree that some or all of these violations existed at the time that you were notified?
Yes.
Okay. Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector and the respondent, show it entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until February 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the void for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown. For the first time this morning, we heard from Mr. Barnes. Second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Okay, what we've done, Mrs. Riccanni, is we've allowed you until February 6th to bring the property into compliance. I would suggest that you maintain some level of communication with Mr. Fitzgerald, and if you run into any problems, certainly let him know.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 8. Tom has one. Case number 8 is CEB 1112123, Gary M. Rose. The property is located at 412 Wisteria Road. Mr. Respondent here.
Yep.
Good morning.
My name is Tom Clegg. I'm employed at the City of Daytona Beach as code officer, and my credentials are on file. This is case number CE 2012-1618, City of Daytona Beach versus Gary M. Rose. Property address is 412 Wisteria. Parcel ID number is 16153302000280. The violations are failure to maintain the exterior and no screens on the windows. What this is, board members, is a complaint from the neighborhood watch. He's been trying to maintain his property for some time right now, and I think he's going to tell you he ran out of funds, and he's unable to finish the work right now, and unknown time limit when the violation will be corrected.
My name is Gary Rose.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Rose. What would you like to tell us about the...
Well, I purchased the house about 2.5 years ago. It was a foreclosed property, and it was built in 1926, and I don't think anything's been done to the house since 1926. The front of the house, where the porch is, it was an enclosed porch, and I pulled all that off of it. And so I've got some temporary pillars, and when I received the letter, that's what it had stated was, was it fix and paint the pillars and replace screens on the screen window. So those were the two complaints.
I was going to say, I was just a correction. Officer Sykes had that original case for what he's talking about, and then I recited him for what you're...
So those two things. So the two pillars that you see there, they're a temporary thing, because when I pulled the porch out, there was some stucco that was getting ready to fall. So that's just a support. So that's just a temporary thing that's going to be fixed. The screens on the windows, I was not aware that Daytona had a code that you had to have screens on the windows. But I have purchased windows for the house. I'm replacing all of the windows, because I'm doing a renovation of sort, you know, on a smaller scale, because the house is livable. It's my house. I do have I came from Jacksonville. I sold that house, and so this is my permanent home. So that's where I'm at with it. So what I'm asking is more time to do the things that I need to do to it, because it's a lot of little things, but, you know, financially I've had a little constraints there, so I just need more time to do the things,
Tom,
that I need to do. And I guess be clear exactly of what I have to do with the screens. If I replace the windows, I guess that would all I would need to do, because they do have new screens. Yes.
Tom, what specifically did you say the violation was for failure to maintain?
Failure to maintain that exterior right there with his pillars he's talking about.
Right.
Like I said, Officer Sykes originally had it. He had actual pillars there that he removed.
Pillars there. It was a boxed-in screen
That
somebody had made, basically.
And I think Officer Sykes originally, like I said, but my violations were the fixed, where he's got the wood holding up the front of the porch, and then you can see it. I guess I should have zoomed in a little bit better, but there's stucco damage on the right there in the bottom of the exterior on the north side of the building itself.
Okay. Is that going to cause a structural problem whereby it might create some type of
structure failure? No.
Yeah, okay.
What that is on the bottom is where a porch was. It was a cement porch.
Looking at that pillar that you're referring to.
Oh, the pillar. No, those are just basically 2x4s. And all that is, there's some, on the inside of the porch, there's some cracked stucco. And that's just holding that up until I can get that stucco.
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a safety issue.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I don't think it is.
No. How much time do you think you would need?
Replacing the windows, like I said, I've already got the windows. It's just a matter of being able to pay someone to come put them in. So, you know, 60 or 90 days.
What about the other violation for the exterior? Mr. Rose, when do you think you can have that done as well?
Well, again, I need to have someone come and look at the stucco on the inside of the porch, because the pillars, again, are a temporary thing. That's just a hold up where it's got a little crack, and that it's just a support. So that's going to be gone. You know, the same amount of time.
And let me ask a question. You said that you need 60 to 90 days to have windows installed, which would generally take a few days. Is it
financial? Yes.
Okay. Tom, what's your opinion of the city's position on that?
I recommend the next cutoff 30 days.
Okay.
I believe it's an occupied reinvestment house right now.
No, it's not. It's my house, and I did file a tax exemption on it. It's just, again, it's in Ocean's Dunes, and I have a couple of neighbors that Tom told me that walk the street, and they want it to look like the other houses do on the other streets. But it's just a slow-going thing. Cause again, it was a foreclosure, a very old home that needs a lot of work. Yeah.
Tom, from your site inspections and becoming more familiar with this in Daytona due to the age of some of the houses, when he takes out these old windows to put in the new windows, are we going to have more stucco problems?
I believe so, unless he gets a stucco garage. You know, the windows, first of all, is going to need a permit for that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't sign him for the windows. The windows are fine structurally right now. I just signed him for the screens. So,
yeah. Right. But the actual, yeah. What he's going to do, you know,
right, yeah,
he's going to for wanting to improve
right,
his home.
Right.
Is the next cutoff enough time for him to obtain the permit?
I didn't sign him for the windows. The windows are fine in the condition they're in today. It's just the screens. I'm worried more about the exterior and the screens, and he wants to do the windows. That's another issue.
Mr. Rose,
gets a permit, so.
Do you think you need until February 6th?
That would be great.
The city disagrees, but the city says next cutoff 30 days, but it's a financial situation that he's talking about.
Yes, it
so.
Is.
You know, if he was just replacing the screens, I can understand just giving until next cutoff, but if he's going to make improvements to his home,
that's
going to beautify.
We have to address the violations that are on record.
Right.
Mr. Rose, I just have a basic question. Sorry about interrupting, Ms. Heim. Let me just ask this one question, and I'll allow you to speak. The screens that you have for the new windows, will they fit the existing windows coverage?
You know, I haven't tried that. They're new windows, and I did have to special order those because the windows are not standard, so they could possibly, I guess.
I'm asking because that may rectify that issue, mm-hmm. or that violation if they would fit.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the exterior, that's another matter. Ms. Himes?
No, I was just going on what was on here. It was the screen, and that was the matter I thought that we had to determine.
Right, right.
That, and he said next cutoff, and mm-hmm. I felt like that could be done yeah. at the next cutoff.
Right, right.
You know, any additional would be great, but I think we're dealing with
the screens and the exterior. How about the exterior, Mr. Rose? How soon do you think you can have that done?
Again, you know, 60 to 90 days on the exterior, because it's going to require some stucco work, and I just need to, you know, financially be able to afford someone to come and do that.
Okay, we're only talking about that one portion where you've been cited. We're not talking about the entire house having the stucco done. We're just about the areas that Mr. Clegg has indicated that are in violation.
With the pillars.
Yes.
In the front the bottom half of it right there by the windows.
Okay. Well, I mean, if I could do that within 60 days, I just need someone to match up where I tore the porch off, and that has the that's what's showing there is where I tore the old porch off. And so, is that what you're talking about? That needs the stucco at the bottom.
Let me ask the city if they would consider a compromise. Mr. Rose is asking for 60 to 90 days. Mr. Clegg is asking for the next cutoff. Would the city consider maybe the cutoff date in January 2nd?
Let me get my supervisor.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Mr. Rose, The windows are ordered?
No, I've received them now. It's
you
just
have the windows?
I just don't have. I just financially don't have someone that can.
I understand, but you have the windows.
Yes,
do
yes,
they
ma'am.
Come with screens?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So we're asking him to buy new screens.
No.
If no?
those screens fit the windows, the existing windows, he can put those on, and that would take care of that violation.
Is that a possibility that you can, if you have those screens, that you can just put them on the existing windows?
Yes, ma'am. Again, they were special orders, so they may fit. I can definitely try that, yes. And to
see if
the new
screens
would take
care of one violation.
Absolutely.
Until you got
yes.
to that point.
Yes, ma'am.
And Ms. Kundig also, and I asked the question I asked about the stucco specifically, because if it's just that small amount up front, that's not an extensive amount of work. So I think that can be done actually before the next cutoff. But I was just trying to be a little bit fair and compromise between what the city is asking for and what Mr. Rose is asking for, and asking if they would consider the cutoff in January, which would really be more time than really is necessary. But given consideration to the financial circumstance Mr. Rose is in, that's why I considered that.
Just a question, Mr. Chair. Was Tom, was he cited for the stucco at the base of this porch, and that's
base,
it?
Yeah, and then Terry
yeah.
Rose.
Yeah.
To the north side of the building.
So just the base.
Right.
That's all he was cited for. Okay.
Based on information provided by the inspector as well as the respondent, the chair would entertain a motion finding a response. Well, hold on. Mr. Rose, do you agree that some of all of the violations existed? I think I asked that, didn't I? Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Based on information provided by the inspector, Mr. Klieg, and the respondent, Mr. Rose, chair would entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until January 2nd, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So
such a motion?
Second.
Mr. Smart has the motion. Mr. Brown has the second. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Break. Okay. Mr. Rose, what we've done is we've allowed you until January 2nd to bring the property into compliance. As you probably heard me ask other individuals, keep in contact with the inspector, Mr. Klieg, especially if you're running into any problems. Okay? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a five-minute break, if that's okay with the members of the board.
Since David's going to occupy the rest of our morning, sure. Everything else is his. Everything else is the fire.
Do you call the meeting back to order, please? Here are the cases. Just reading into the record, case number 6, which is CDB's. Is that on? Yeah. Okay. Just going to read case number 6 into the record, which is CEB 0912102, which is in compliance as of November 7th, 2012. Case number 7 is CEB 1112132, Harvey Estates LLC. Property is located at 707 and 715 Harvey Avenue. Is the respondent here?
Come on up, sir. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach. Case number CEB 112132, Harvey Estates LLC against the City of Daytona Beach. Violations include no commercial, industrial, multi-residential sign, fire extinguishers not mounted, some electrical issues in Unit 3 as far as some cover plates, smoke detectors in Unit 3, 6, and I believe 11. Also have a smoke detector missing and or not maintained, and then the fire extinguisher in the laundry room is missing, an extension cord in Unit 11 also. This is currently in non-compliance as of the last date I was there, which was 10/15. At this time is non-compliance. Looking for next cutoff on all the items with the exception of the smoke detectors, looking for 10 days.
Good morning.
William Kogat.
Please stop the swear.
Yes.
Mr. Kogut, would you spell your last name?
K-O-G-U-T.
Good morning, what's your relation,
gentlemen?
What's your relationship to Hobby Estates, LLC?
I'm the owner, Mr. Chairman.
So you're the managing member?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What would you like to tell us?
Obviously managing with my wife.
What would you like to tell us about the violations?
First of all, I don't ever remember receiving this letter. It, here on the bottom, does say certified, return receipt requested. I was kind of fortunate. One of my tenants happened to find this on his front porch. Majority of the entrances are from the rear, and he happened to be outside and find this letter. Found this letter, I think, Tuesday morning or yesterday morning. But all these violations have been immediately corrected. There is no unit number 11, number one. That's a mistake on the comments. When I was before this board earlier this year about the painting and all the screens and all that situation, there was never a mention of a fire extinguisher in the laundry area, but I did install one yesterday anyway because of the particular letter mentioning it today. But everything has been corrected. If there was those two fire detectors that had to be corrected, there was a tenant that moved from one unit to another unit within the building. It was wirely connected, but not attached to the holder. It was just hanging there. And there may have been one missing, but I thought that was all replaced and corrected. There's no problem. He's more than willing to come back and recheck. I try to stay on that property as much as I can, sir. Okay. I'm a realtor. I just ran for Congress, so you can imagine what my life was like this year. I lost two brothers this year, one in January at 52, one in July at 48, and my mother-in-law in March. Wow. So it's just been a tough, tough year. But anyway, I stay on the property. The property is unique, one of the most unique ones on the beach side.
David, I'm looking at your affidavit of service, and it says that the notice was sent to 707 and 715 Harvey. But there's a place also that where you could have checked that the notice was mailed to 12 Winchester Road.
That's my home address. See,
hold on, Mr.
I'm sorry.
Cricket. Let me ask Mr. Newell a question. Did you also send the notice to 12 Winchester Road, because the box is not checked on the information that I have?
No, I did not. I was in contact with one of the managers. It was a manager at the time. Did the inspection with him, noted all, everything, sent everything to them as far as the violations. When I had went back for the second re-inspection, if you will, I was told by that gentleman that he's no longer the manager, that the one that I have labeled as apartment 11, which was on the top in the back, the upstairs in the back in the 715. The lady that was in there said that her husband boyfriend is the new gentleman, and that was where some of the other issues were found at that time, or were also found. So I sent them back to them, but I did not know of the Winchester Road, and so nothing was ever sent. The notice was handled, or you know, posted. I did try on two occasions to knock on those doors to get a hold of those individuals. I didn't know that Mr. Kogut was the individual for the property, because in the previous years that I've actually done inspections there, I've always dealt with those individuals that were there. So, and I've never had a problem in the past of getting things accomplished when something has arose. So if everything's corrected, then that's great.
Matter of fact, you can see the back of the paper. It's the list Mr. Cut, people with yesterday with plates and whatever was this? I think it's smoke detector, electrical plates.
Mr. Kogut, let me ask you a quick question. The address that I was speaking of, is that a legitimate address where you can...
12 Winchester Road is my home address. That's where. That's why I didn't understand why it said certified mail. I never got a certified mail because I would have obviously addressed it immediately.
The 70.
Probably they left it at 707 and 715. 707 only has 5 units, so there is no unit number 11. 707 has 8 units, and they are all numbered as well as 715, 1 through 5 and 1 through 8.
Okay.
I did send the notice to Marion.
Oh, did you?
You did?
Okay.
I see that they never sent it, obviously.
Okay.
That's why. Yes. Anyway, it is 12 Winchester Road is my home address, and as far as the gentleman he mentioned earlier was a guy by the name of Michael, I believe.
Yeah.
And Michael, I just he was the manager, sort of. On the property, my eyes and ears, but I started eviction process, but he moved to Naples and is going back to Connecticut. It's tough to get people. I mean, most of them are responsible, but there's things that are overlooked, obviously.
Okay, I think we can pretty much expedite this, Mr. Kogut. Mr. Newell has recommended that we allow you until December 5th, 2012 to bring the property into compliance, and I know that you've indicated it is in compliance. Except he has to inspect it.
Yes, sir.
Which would be sufficient time for him to do that.
Well, he can come this afternoon, sir.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time that you were notified or that the property was posted with the notification? Did the some or all of these violations exist at the time of notice?
The smoke detectors, some tenants, when they leave, they take them with them, believe it or not. I also provide the electronic pest controls that I plug in. Everyone, someone moves, it's always gone.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So they take things with them that they should.
Did some or all of these violations exist at the time?
Maybe one. Just the fire extinguisher was not there because I was not instructed the first time.
Okay. Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Newell, and the respondent, Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until December 5th, 2012 to bring the property into compliance. Plus, based on the request of the inspector, Mr. Newell, we're allowing 10 days to bring the smoke detectors, those violations corrected within 10 days, or impose a fine of...
We can waive that,
okay.
Sir.
Okay.
Find non-compliance.
Right.
Now,
okay.
And then
okay.
If it's
okay.
Not corrected, then we'll
right.
come back next month.
Okay.
I think it's typically right.
All right.
We
well, we're going to allow the respondent 10 days to correct the violations involving the smoke detectors and, again, bring the other violations into compliance prior to or by December 5th, 2012 will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Brown.
A day.
I believe Mr.
I haven't made money there in 10 years,
hold
Chairman.
Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay, thanks, Mr. Kogut.
May I ask just a crazy question? 9 months ago, 10 months ago, when I sent out my FPL bill, I put a note within that I was not interested in their smart meters for my home.
We can't address that, Mr. Kogut.
But I'm just curious. Shouldn't they have to be required to get permitting to get on somebody's private property?
That's outside of the purview of this board. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I think that's yours, too.
Case number 17 is CEB 1112133, Burgoyne Properties Limited and 180 Moon LLC, a.k.a. Moon Daytona Incorporated. Property is located at 176 and 180 North Beach Street. The respondent is coming forward.
Do you want to do that first?
Joe Guzzi. G-U-Z-Z-I.
State your affiliation. Are you here for the property owner?
For the, not the owner, but the tenant.
The business?
Yeah.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
David Newell, City of Daytona Beach. here for case number CEB 11-12-133, Burgoyne Properties Limited against and 180 Moon or Moon Daytona Inc. against the City of Daytona Beach. Violations include sprinkler system not inspected and tested on the annual basis. No audio visual notification for the alarm system in the private lounge on the second floor. And then sprinkler heads in the key code access room. This is just a description for me to know where it was at. That is above the decorative ceilings. So either decorative ceilings need to be removed or the sprinkler heads need to be protruding below that. And then panic hardware on the back end of the double doors do not open, so there's a means of egress issue. For most of this, was what used to be the old Coliseum. These gentlemen have now turned around and made it in the Moon. They've done a lot of nice things in there. There was other a lot more issues than what you see here. They've corrected some of those issues. Joe and Randy have been in contact with me. Staff's looking for 10 days on the sprinkler system and the audio-visual notification and next cutoff for the panic hardware.
It's 10 days for
the sprinkler system to be inspected and tested, and then the sprinkler heads in the key code access room and either decorative ceiling be brought down or the heads be arranged for and then the audio-visual also. Well, no, I'm not going to add the audio-visual because that's going to take a what 10 days is going to allow. In the system to be inspected and tested, just wanted to make it clear if there's deficiencies upon that inspection that are found, that's not necessarily in the 10 days. It has to be inspected, and we'll address the deficiencies. The whole sprinkler system as a whole has to be inspected. Yes.
That most of those things in the 10 days have already been accomplished.
Okay.
For the panic hardware and stuff like that, waiting on parts. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to get here, so I can't really give you a time frame.
Parts for what?
For the panic hardware on the doors.
I also did receive a call from a vendor the other day that they have been contacted by them with regards to the audio-visual notifications to go out and see what needs to be done. So just to let you know that some of that stuff they've been trying to take care of, so they are working with us to get that accomplished.
All the things that we can take care of, we've already taken care of. All the things that are left to be taken care of are stuff we have to get outside people to come in and do. The WSA people came in and inspected and gave me a quote, and they said they're going to pull a permit and go ahead and do that, and then just waiting on the parts for the doors. So the only two things left out of everything else.
Yeah. How long have you been running this business?
About a year, I want to say, close to.
David, what is the position of the fire department when you inspect for violations in a building in which there may be hundreds of people? Is it the assumption that these inspections are done because there's a potential danger to the public?
I guess I'm going to ask, are you talking about an inspection from the fire department or inspection by the sprinkler alarm company?
This inspection here, the one we're talking about.
This inspection?
Are there any potential problems that could come about because they had a fire and these things weren't properly installed?
The key code access room in particular, this has been the first real inspection I've done on this property. As far as the other inspectors, I know there's been other inspections. For me, the key card access room, from my understanding, we've never been able to get into. I don't know. That's what I've been told. So those violations in that room, which would be your audio visual and the sprinkler head issues, we've never been made aware of. Because I guess we couldn't get in there. I don't really know the issues with that. As it pertains to sprinkler system, is they're just out of date on it. That's something that happens probably every single day, and we catch them upon our inspections when we go. If the property owners are not keeping up with their due diligence of doing the inspections in a timely manner.
That's an annual inspection.
Correct. Correct. That was the annual.
Sprinklers in the ceiling are not coming through the roof?
There's only about three or four. What happens is if you look up here, I'm just going to use this for an example. They have some decorative tiles. They have sprinkler heads that are facing that are shooting that are going up towards the ceiling. Okay, they have some decorative tiles in a couple areas that come down that are very nice that are right over the sprinkler head. You can't have anything under the sprinkler head. You'd have to turn around and leave that sprinkler head facing up and take another one and protrude it down. Or you can remove the decorative. Now, this is only in that specific room. And those heads, I'm talking about three or four, I think we talked about, Joe.
I already removed all those tiles. So
okay. There's only like three or four. So there wasn't a huge number that were there. They may have added those tiles later. I can't give you an honest answer on that. But you know, we're only talking three or four. We're not talking about a building that is could occupy 1,000 people, and the whole system. They have to change all the heads. That's not the case. Did I answer your question?
Partially. I was just trying to deal with the logic of having a fire inspection. And then giving them 3 and 4 months to come into compliance. I understand that's being business friendly. Is it being safety friendly?
Well, in this aspect, from when the first notification happened to where we've got now, it's just kind of been the process as it pertains. We have now going to start bringing some of them to you a lot quicker. Because of hand delivery and that kind of stuff. So this one, in retrospect, this room, for the most part, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, is only used during some peak seasons, during spring break, bike week.
That's not a public room.
It's not a public room anyway, but still required to meet codes.
Thank you.
Can you have all these items taken care of by January?
The only two items that are left, it depends on how fast we can get the parts from the contractors are going to be doing those. Those aren't something that we can do personally. So I would imagine yes, but that also depends on the availability of them being able to order the hardware for the doors. So I would think so, yes, but if something's out of stock or they have to wait or the shipment of it gets delayed, then I don't know how long it would take them to install them.
Can I ask a question regarding your business? Do you have parties planned for the holidays that are coming up?
I'm not sure.
And the reason I asked the question is because Mr. Harrington's question kind of makes me think we need to try to address these issues as quickly as possible, especially if there's going to be a crowd in the building for special events or parties or whatever goes on. David, what's your recommendation?
I can address that. As it pertains to the section or that room, I can make an order, and it was thought about doing this. I can make an order that room not be used until these items have been corrected. He's saying they're all corrected with exception of the audio visual, which it's just going to need a permit. That could be a 1 or 2 day process because it's very simple. We're only talking about a couple devices, not a lot. As it pertains to the Panic hardware, we can reduce their occupant load because of capacity issues. So we could reduce their occupant load until that door is fixed at that time. So I mean that's something that we can address and make happen, and would probably be my recommendation if the board is concerned that way, until okay. Fixed.
All right.
Well, those are things that normally take place when situations like this come up, right?
Correct. Okay. Yes. Yes. That's not out of the purview of things that actually occur. Yes, sir.
So do we need to go beyond our December cutoff?
I would strongly suggest do the December cutoff for the other items other than what we've discussed. And in the event there's some parts issues, we can come back and address it at that time. I do not recommend let's put this till January.
Okay.
Oh, there's 8 ways out of that room. Yeah, it's just
correct. I just got to... There is a lot of ways out of that room, but I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look at when you determine the capacity for a building. It's either determined on the square. It's always determined on square footage, but it's also dependent on how the square footage of the doors out. So I don't know if he's restricted right now on the doors, how wide the doors are, and how many doors he has, or is he restricted by what the square footage is? For an example, I think he's around 1,100 is his capacity. In the event he can get 1,100 out without this door, then we don't have a problem. Okay, but if he's restricted to 1,100 based on those doors, then we're going to have to deduct that number, which would be a couple hundred people.
Right. What was your name again? I'm sorry.
Joe.
The last name.
Guzzi, G-U-Z-Z-I.
Mr. Guzzi, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time that the business was notified?
Yep.
Okay. Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Newell, and the respondent's representative, chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and requiring the respondent to bring the, well, test the sprinkler, have the key code access room brought into compliance, and the ceiling, as well as the audio visual notification, have those violations rectified within 10 days.
Not on the audio visual, because that's going to require a permit. We're just not going to let them use that room until then, till that's corrected. We'll go till next cutoff for that.
Okay. Amending, allowing 10 days for the testing of the sprinkler system, repairing or bringing the key code access room into compliance, as well as the ceiling, and allowing the respondent until December 5th, 2012 to bring the other violations into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Mr. Guz, if you run into any problems, please make sure that you communicate with Mr. Newell, or when you correct those violations, notify him as well so he can come out and inspect.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Case number 18 is CEB 1112134, Beach Property Investment Group, LLC, and Beach Properties Investment, DBA, Bayview Hotel. Property is located at 124 Orange Avenue. Looks like the respondent is here.
Yes, come on. Go ahead.
John Junco, J-U-N-C-O.
Do you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Oh, here it is. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach, here for case number CEB 11-2-134, Beach Property Investments Group versus the Daytona Beach. This property had numerous violations, which would include the sprinkler system, smoke detectors, means of egress getting out, extinguisher issues, fire alarm issues. We had numerous violations at this location. Since that initial inspection, the majority of the violations have been corrected. The managing person who works for the gentleman, John, sorry, in contact with her all the time, so they've accomplished everything with the exception of what you see here. I was trying to get a little thing here, but the only thing that's left is there's a lot of the units where the windows will not open, and that's usually a secondary means of egress to be able to get out in the bedrooms. I have been told by them that they have purchased all the actual devices to make them go up and down, that they're just in the process of installing them. There's a door on the second story which opens to the rear fire escape, which is not... will open, but does not open 90 degrees as it's supposed to. Also, the rear fire escape is not adequate and is rusting through in many areas. And you'll, I don't know, there probably will be some pictures of it. There's, hey, Vicky, that's Crookston. Hit the other one. Should be the, don't tell me I threw you the wrong one. Oops. That would have been my fault. I apologize. The rear fire exit is a hazard in itself. meaning it's not safe to be able to really go down. Again, like I said, there's parts that were there that are rusted through. They've done some temporary fixes, but they have to replace the fire escape. I've been told that they, through email, they have signed an order, or I'm sorry, signed an agreement with a company to build that. So we're looking for next cutoff for the windows, and I believe we'll probably, I'm going to defer to him on this, but I'm probably going to say 60 days for the rear escape for the sheer fact of building it. That's where we're at.
Junko, what's your like to tell us?
Yes, John Junko, 641 Devon Street in Port Orange. The windows were, it's an old building, so in order to purchase the proper hardware, we had to go out there and do a little detective work to find them. We did find them. We received them, and they are being repaired as we speak. They're trying to do three windows per day. The fire escape originally was, in best guess, we thought it would be a repairable job, but due to further examination, it was quite obvious that would not be the case. The size and the age of the building could not comply with a standard pre-made fire escape where we would just put a new escape module in there. This has to obviously be done custom by a welder. At that time, we stopped the repair bids and we initiated full complete work. We did locate a welder that is able to do that, and I just received a notice of commencement yesterday for them to pursue the outstanding item that needs to be addressed.
Okay. And what is your relationship to the respondent?
Unfortunately, one of the members of the Beach Property Investment Group.
So are you saying that your tenants have been living in that building with the potential of a fire, and they couldn't get out the window, and they couldn't go down the fire escape?
Some of the windows work. A lot of them do not. The fire escape, you could go down. You can
apart.
Use, but there's a lot of, it's very, very rusted.
You wouldn't want me to go down first.
I wouldn't want anybody to go down, sir. I wouldn't want anybody to go down. They have some issues, like he was saying, that they have requirements as far as property line, that it goes right up to the property line. So buying one that's prefabbed and slided in isn't going to work because of they have property line issues. So it has to be, a permit has to be pulled, design pulled, and then, you know, built. So I don't want anybody going down it.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I have some questions.
Sure.
How many units are there in this building?
Oh, shoot.
40-something?
Yeah, approximately 40. Since we've owned it, we restored a new manager since we discovered things were not being addressed, and it's safe to say with the new management and us taking closer consideration, we've actually taken all the revenue over the last 5 years and put it back into the building. When we first assumed control of it, it was less than 50%. And now I can say there are probably two units that still need to be addressed, but it's not a ritzy place.
It just needs to be safe.
I agree with you, absolutely.
How long have you owned the building?
I would say maybe we assumed control of it probably about 3 years ago as an investment group. But we've owned it, I think, maybe about 5 or 6 years.
We finished, Ms. Condig.
Yes,
sorry.
Thank you.
The estimate in your hand for the repairs, what's the timeline on that? Because permits will have to be pulled, right, David?
Correct. Permits
okay.
have to be pulled.
Yeah, we already have the contractor to do the, we have a notice commencement. I'm sorry, this was the one that I got in my office
right.
fax, but I'll be happy to make you copies. In lieu of the idea that it's going to be a custom job dismantling the existing one safely and anchoring it to the building, we had originally anticipated 60 days to have it corrected. I'm starting to become aware that we have Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. I'm not sure, but I think we could do it in 60 days. I would prefer a little cushion just to make sure we get everything satisfied, because I would like it to be obviously inspected to code and to compliance and make sure it's done, that it meets everybody's satisfaction.
I'd like to keep it at the 60 days and then come back to you if because at that point we should have seen I don't want to wait till 90 days to come back to see if permits were pulled. With working with them, I'm sure everything's going to be taken care of, but at 60 days, I want to make sure that at least we are in the process of getting things accomplished or there's been signs of stuff being done. So staff would recommend keeping it 60 days, and in the event it gets close to the end and they're getting part of it done, then maybe we can do a continuance.
Dave, you said 60 days would be required for the fire escape. Is that correct? And everything else next cutoff?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Let me ask a question of you, Mr. Junko. I noticed in the record there are 3 certified mail receipts. None of those are signed. One of which went to Beach Property Investments. Another went to a P.O. Box at 2627. And another was mailed to the registered agent, Snell Legal.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no signatures. Is there another address that the notices should be sent to if necessary?
We have a manager, a property manager, Sandy. She deals with things, and we have an office in that building that receives the information. Our attorney, Greg Snell, we just keep him updated on things in case we need his assistance. But I became aware of the situation after the letters were received by our manager, and then she advised the investors through an email that there were issues we needed to address.
Okay. Do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time that you were notified?
Yes.
Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector as well as the respondent, shall it entertain a motion allowing the respondent to bring the fire escape, allow the respondent 60 days to bring the fire escape into compliance based on construction and permitting considerations, and requiring the respondent to bring the additional violations into compliance by December 5th, 2012. For the 60 days, compliance should be achieved on or before January 2nd, 2013. That's for the fire escape.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Kundick. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Thanks very much, Mr. Junko. Case number 19 is CEB 1112135, Stephen C. Klein, Revocable Trust, dated 10-22-09, care of Stephen C. Klein, Trustee in Investments Unlimited of Volusia County, LLC, DBA, Three Oaks Inn. The property is located at 331 South Pimento Avenue.
Stephen Klein. Stephen Klein.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Good morning, Mr. Klein.
Morning.
David Newell, City of Daytona Beach, here for KCEB 11-12-135. Stephen Klein, Revocable Trust. Care of Stephen Klein, Trustees and Investments in Limited of Volusia County, LLC, DBA, Three Oaks Inn. This property was cited for numerous issues dealing with the sprinkler system, which was not inspected within the last year on an annual basis. We also had other issues dealing with lightweight truss signs. There were some issues on the sprinkler coverage on the first floor that needed to be addressed by the sprinkler contractor. Fire sprinkler issues. We had other issues dealing with the fire department connection, which is on the outside of the building, was under the building, needs to be moved out. We also had some painted sprinkler heads in some areas. Some units didn't have right numbers. Some electrical issues with, for an example, a fridge plugged into another plug to a plug, which you're not allowed. And then one of the biggest things, which were the smoke detectors, which are required by code to be hardwired. And in these units, most of them were not hardwired. The hard wires were still there, but the hardwired were taken down at some point, I'm not sure when, and then the battery-operated ones only were installed. And then there was a handrail that was missing going down a stairwell from the interior stairs from the second floor to the first floor. Staff is recommending 10 days as it pertains to the smoke detectors and the inspection of the sprinkler system. And then next cutoff as it deals with the stairwell. I'm sorry, dealing with the handrail, the electrical stuff with the fridge, and the numbers on the units, and the light, well, the lightweight truss construction. I know it's done. I saw it when I drove by this morning.
So anything you'd like to share with us, Mr. Klein?
The remaining stuff other than the sprinkler system and the smoke detectors, that's going to be 10 days. Everything else is going to be next cutoff. Let's just make it easy for you.
When I first received Ms. Newell's letter on the 10 October, I was in shock. I've had this building 9 years, the 20th of February. I've had quarterly inspections by the state since then, and they never identified any of these discrepancies due to Mr. Newell's expertise in the fire department. I welcome him. We have done approximately 75% of the discrepancies. We have approximately 7 rooms to put the hardwired smoke alarms in. Mastercraft, again, I've dealt with for 9 years. They came in and changed their original installations of the alarm, of the
fire pump connection.
The connection. They extended the connection, but the sprinkler heads themselves, they changed some of them around from what they originally put in there. I feel we're on a good track. I think we'll be done in probably 2 weeks, something like that, somewhere in that area. Okay. And we'll be ready for reinspection.
Okay. Mr. Newell actually is asking us to allow you until December 5th on most of the violations.
Yes, sir.
And 10 days to have the sprinklers, the smoke detectors and the sprinklers done.
Aye, sir.
Okay. Based on the information and testimony provided by the inspectors, Rollis, the respondent, well, first, before I get to that, Mr. Klein, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time you were notified?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Based on the information that was provided by the inspectors, Wallace, the respondent, chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and requiring the respondent to correct the violations for the smoke detector and the sprinklers within 10 days. And bring the other violations, the additional violations, into compliance by December 5th, 2012, or be returned to the board for consideration of fine up to $1,000 per day. So such a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Sure.
Of the board, I will recuse myself. Okay. I've done work for Mr.
Brown. Okay, great. Okay. Thank you.
Can Mr. Chair, can I ask a couple questions of David?
Yes, ma'am.
What is a fire department connection?
If you look out on it is a connection that is on the exterior of the buildings where the fire department would feed the system. Say a sprinkler head goes off and we need to feed that system with more water than what the system can supply, domestic system could supply, we would hook our hoses up to that and supply the building with what our truck can through the hydrants. Basically, if you look on the outside of the building, actually you should have that one, 331 South Palmetto, Vicky. Usually it's his building is a little older, so there's only one connection on the outside, but usually it's like a Y. So it comes out as one pipe and it sits out like this, and you'll see signs that will say FDC. Right. That's a fire department connection. It basically allows us to get into the system. Most of, like for an example, a lot of the stuff over on Beachside, your big hotels, because of how high the big the buildings are, the law of physics won't let water continue to go. So we have to boost that pressure with either a fire pump, and I'm hoping that picture is going to come up real quick here. May ask you to say hold here for a second, Vicky, if it comes up. I think I got a picture of it. I should. Stop right there. Can you stop that, Vicky, by chance? If you look to the right behind that mattress that's there, that's where the fire department connection is. That is underneath the actual porch. And it's supposed to be on the outside. There was an FDC sign on the outside, so it showed us where it was at, which was nice, but it's supposed to be on the exterior of the building, and now even current codes, it can't even be on the building. It can't even be on the building. It has to be off of the building. So we just wanted it where it's supposed to. We wanted it. Code says it has to be on the exterior part of the building, and it can't be underneath any covered porch area or anything like that. So that's we just move that pipe out.
Now, why wasn't this inspected? It says that needed to be tested. Well, you said it wasn't didn't have a yearly fire inspection. Is it up to?
It's up to them to do the yearly fire inspection. They had done it. It just hadn't been done in the last year. I don't know if it was 2010 the last time it was done.
So they need to call you.
No. No, they don't call us for the fire inspection for the sprinklers. That's a sprinkler inspection that is with the sprinkler contractors.
Got it.
He mentioned Mastercraft earlier. That was the sprinkler contractor that he has a contract with to do work.
I need some clarification. I don't know if I should do that now. They only brought one nipple out. Am I to understand they need two nipples?
Hold on, Mr. Klein. Hold on just a moment.
No. What you have there is sufficient. It just that pipe just needed to be brought out.
Okay.
Nope, you're fine.
Okay. Are there any additional... Hold on, Mr. Klein. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, thank you. Case number 20. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Klein. Case number 20 is CEB 1112136, mm-hmm. Jesse L. Glock and Delmar J. Glock Jr. as joint trust in DBA Hotel Delmar. The property is located at 209 South Ridgewood Avenue.
Good morning. Del Glock. I do.
Good morning, Mr. Glock.
Good morning.
All right. David Newell, City, Daytona Beach. Case number CEB 11-12-136. Jesse L. Glock and Delmar J. Glock, Jr. as JTRS and DBA Hotel Delmar. This also had more violations dealing with sprinkler system was not inspected, but some of these issues have been taken care of. What's left is they're missing a sign on the fire department connection, which is required. There's no backflow preventer on the actual system, which is required. The actual system you see in a second when it comes up. The fire department connection, and this might be good for you, Ms. Kundick, right here. If you could hold that real quick there, Vicki, for me, please.
I know what it is.
Okay. Right now, currently, that fire department connection, which is on the end there to on the left-hand side, it needs a 90-degree elbow to be facing out because that other side is against the building, and therefore we can't access it. So a sign needs to be put right above that says fire department connection. An elbow needs to be placed right there. And I think now when I took the picture, I think he has had it inspected since then because I don't think that tag was on there. Also, lightweight truss construction sign along with the alarm system inspected and tested each year. Had a lot of communication with the owner. Some of these items as it pertains to signs and numbers on the building and that kind of stuff, he's in the process of he'd hired a painter, and when the painting of that kind of stuff is done, he's going to fix that kind of stuff. That's what it's holding up him on that. As far as finding him in noncompliance, 10 days on the sprinkler issues and next cutoff on the rest.
Is there anything you'd like to tell us, Mr. Glock?
Well, it's pretty much covered. I have the equipment on the property now. They should start probably next week.
Okay. Mr. Newell is requiring that you have the sprinklers tested and have that violation rectified within 10 days. And the other violations can be corrected no later than December 5th, 2012. Do you think you can have at least the sprinklers done
Yes.
within 10 days?
Yes.
Okay. based on information and testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Newell, and, well, let me get ahead of myself again. Mr. Glock, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notification?
Yes.
Okay. Based on information that's provided by the inspector, Mr. Newell, and the respondent, Mr. Glock, shall it entertain a motion requiring the respondent to bring the sprinkler violations into compliance within 10 days of today's date and bring the remaining violations into compliance on or before December 5th, 2012. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. Glock. Is there any miscellaneous business by any member of the board? Or city staff?
Can I ask just a general question?
Sure.
When we had the restroom break, I tried to ask Mr. Steve, or not ask Mr. Stevens to make a statement. I unfortunately started off by representing a specific case. So let me just say this in a general way. I'm surprised when I find out that you've got people that own homes that don't have insurance. I can see if you have an LLC, at least you lose your, you know, limit your liability to the value of that home. But otherwise, you're really leaving yourself exposed. Is this a common problem in Daytona Beach?
If you have a mortgage, you have to have insurance. But other than that, you can self-insure if that's your choice. Yeah.
You know, people will leave themselves exposed.
They do every day.
Yeah.
What's your insurance?
Yeah. And because Mr. Smart did mention that he spoke to me in the restroom, I had to advise him that because of Sunshine Law, we cannot discuss any case in private like that. We have to do that in public. And so I immediately advised him of that. If no one else has anything, I do have one thing. He was beginning to ask me about a specific case, and I told him in the restroom we couldn't discuss that in private. It had to be done in the sunshine.
I just was going to make a statement reference. I have referenced that particular case, which I shouldn't have. That I was just surprised to find out people don't have
homeowners insurance.
Right. Yeah. Just a general discussion about homeowners.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I have referenced a specific case.
Yeah. True.
Well, Mr. Stevens, we're glad you're still here.
Well, I have a letter that I'm going to read into the record. Of course, I addressed it to Amy because she's the board secretary. It's dated today, November 8th, 2012. It's to Amy again. It says, "Dear Amy, it is with deep sorrow that I write to inform you that due to an impending relocation and effective December 12th, 2012, I will be resigning my membership on the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board. I consider it an honor to have served along with you, Attorney. Attorney Tony Jackson, Mr. Hector Garcia, Officer Sherry Siracusa, and the many code enforcement officers who work diligently to care for our community and distinguish the City of Daytona Beach for their service. I'd like to further thank Attorney Charles Sino for his guidance, and the members of the Code Enforcement Board, past and present, who allowed me the privilege of serving as their chairman for the past 4 years and supported me without hesitation during my tenure. And excuse me, I've served on a lot of boards, but I enjoyed this more than anything I've done in the last 11 or 12 years. Service to the City of Daytona Beach. And I have to say, and this is not in the letter, that I'm feeling all of this emotion because I have appreciated and cherished
cooperation, the guidance, the participation, everything that you all as board members and staff, especially the inspectors and Amy and Tony, that I've really appreciated all that you all have done. And again, for you all to vote me as your chairman and allow me to serve you in such a manner, it really touched me. And as you can tell, that it's kind of hard for me to let you all know that I'm going to be leaving, because I love working with you all just that much.
Change your mind.
You know that song, Don't Go, Please Stay.
No, I said it the day before, Mrs. Hino.
To continue with the letter, and I apologize. As my membership on the Code Enforcement Board is concluded, I affirm that my knowledge has been increased, the experience has been immensely fulfilling, and I will forever cherish the relationships that will develop as a result of my participation and membership on this board. Again, many thanks are extended to you, Amy, city staff, and members of the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board. Again, I apologize for the assistance and support that has been received during my term of service. I'd like to wish each of you infinite success in your respective endeavors. And I can say it without doubt and speak from the heart when I say each and every one of you will be missed. And I submit this letter with warmest regards, of which I've affixed my signature. Amy, here's
I just. Larry, I just want to say publicly, I know I told you this last time, but when I first came on board here, I had no idea what the procedures were. You taught me a lot about how to maintain my cool and how to just stick to the facts, and you ran the meetings really well and professionally, and we will miss you. I learned a lot from you. Thank you.
I didn't mean to.
I'm sure you'll come back and visit us, and hopefully we'll have you in front of the board and give you 30 days.
I make a motion to give 180 days.
It's happening in 90 days.
Yeah, 190 days.
And I, because I have to sign the orders, and just in case anything comes up, I made the effective date one day prior to the next meeting so that the next chairman can take full reign of the board, as well as whoever's going to be the vice chair. So I hope you all don't mind that. I was trying to think strategically, even though I know I won't be here, and I'm leaving the board, I'm sure, in capable hands. Whoever that person may be that will serve as chairman, as well as with the members of the board, Mr. Sino and Mr. Jackson, yeah. Mr. Garcia, all of the inspectors. I can't tell you all enough, and I think you can see it for yourself, that I really love working with you all. I've really cherished the experience, and I don't think I'll ever have anything that I've embraced this much. As I said, I sit on other boards, but none touch me like this one does, and I think it's more the people than the process, and that's what I think I cherish more than anything. I couldn't thank all of the inspectors individually, and I hope you don't mind that I just, you know, phrased it the way I did, but bear in mind that I do appreciate everything that every one of you all have done, especially in trying to make our city better.
You all do an excellent job. You're always professional, and I know with Hector being your manager, you're in very capable hands, and I'm sure he's going to make sure everything is done well. But again, you all have been very, very professional throughout, I think, the 8 years that I've been on the board, Amy. And again, I think this is my fourth year as chairman, and I've greatly appreciated the trust that you all put in me to serve as chairman. I will miss you all, as I said, and if I get the opportunity to come back and visit, I'll certainly try to make that happen, Neil. But hopefully I won't be out there as a respondent.
Well, I'll remind you that you have a cell phone, and so long
as
it's not an issue, you can always call.
My number's not going to change. I'll just leave it, because this is still an open meeting. I'll just say that I am going up north, and I'm going to be an assistant director of physical plant or facilities for a particular body. And within 6 months to a year, I'll be the director. So there's always the so far there's the opportunity for me to move up already. So, but it's something I've sought for the last couple of years, but it had no bearing on the proceedings here, because again, I'm going to miss each and every one of you. And please feel free to call me at any time. My number is, Amy has my number. I won't put it on the record, but anyone can access it or ask me after the meeting, and I'll be happy to give it to you. Now, with that in mind, I would like to make a recommendation, if this is appropriate, to nominate Mr. Rico Brown as the next chair.
Second.
Mr. Boynes, did you?
Third.
Oh, okay.
Well, unfortunately, we have to put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has to be an agenda item.
In case
anybody now wants to push the run for it. So.
Well, that's food for thought.
We have elections in January anyway. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, you're right. January.
You're going to be able to handle the power now.
Well, Mr. Chair, I can say it's definitely been a pleasure serving with you and with the board, and I wish you the best.
Thank you.
We make progress in life, and we never know where it's going to come from, so I definitely wish you the best, and have all the cold weather you want.
My start date will be November 26th, so I will be leaving within the next couple of weeks. And... Well, thank you, Tony. Again, it has been a pleasure, and I will take this experience with me forever. And actually, I apply some of the knowledge that I've gained here and some of what I do in other places. Again, I don't know if everybody knew, but I used to be a developer in the local area. I would build houses and reconstruct commercial buildings as well. So I've used some of that knowledge and some of what I've gained here, listening to the inspectors and Tony and Mr. Cino, and applying some of what I've done. I've learned a lot here. So again, thank you all very much for the privilege of serving as chairman for the last few years and serving on the board. I have to thank the commission for appointing me, which I'll do at another time. But I hope everybody does very well. I think that whoever the next chair is, maybe it's going to be Mr. Brown and the vice chair, but I think you all are going to do very well. And again, thanks very much.
I mean, I'd like to make a motion that we advance his pay for December at this time. Oh, we're still in the meeting.